In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Matthew, the 15th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel reading today from Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, is a lot like life. And here's what I mean. You can ask a lot of questions about this reading, a lot of questions about what is actually going on, and you won't get answers. Why is Jesus silent when this woman approaches in her need? You can guess, but you won't know. What's the disciples' tone of voice when they apparently want Jesus to just give her what she wants so she'll shut up and go away? But Jesus says no. He was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What's the emotional state of the woman as she continues to approach Jesus? Does Jesus intend to insult her? Does she feel isolated and insulted? There are no answers. This is a lot like life. At least, if you are trying to live your life as a Christian, in faithful service and devotion to God, as opposed to living a superficial life where you just chase after and do whatever you want and avoid doing any real hard stuff and work. Why doesn't Jesus answer this prayer with something other than silence? Why do I struggle so much? Why can't I just be a better person? When will the wars and fighting and suffering and pain and sorrow of this life be over? You know how it goes. That's how life is. There are a lot of questions to which this text gives no answers. It does, however, answer one very particular and important question. And here it is. What does great faith believe about Jesus? You may have noticed from your own reading of the Gospels that Jesus is not all that impressed with people around him. Not too often. But to this woman, he actually says, "O woman, great is your faith." Now, I know that that sounds strange, since we often speak of faith as a gift of God. And that's good, and that's right, and I understand that. But that's not the text. In this text, Jesus says, "O woman, great is your faith." So I take that to mean that our Lord actually wants us to teach us something about what great faith believes. And I would say that there are two things. The first is this. Great faith knows and believes who Jesus really is. See, she's a Gentile. She's a woman. She's a Canaanite. And as they say in baseball, three strikes and you're out. But she actually comes and she addresses Jesus in the way that a disciple would. She calls him Lord. In Matthew's gospel, only disciples address Jesus as Lord. And she speaks to Jesus as an Israelite would. She calls him Son of David. Is she parroting these things that she's heard other people say? Or does she really know what she is saying? She knows. And this becomes clear after Jesus tells her, it's not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. Meaning that it's not right to give Israel's gifts to Gentiles, to these outsiders. Because Jesus is, after all, the Son of David, And that means he comes from a specific God, and there's only one, to fulfill specific promises related to a specific plan. And you can't just decide to have the kind of Jesus that you want. Because God doesn't keep every promise that you can think of or dream up. He only keeps the promises that he made. And Jesus is the Lord, which means that she is not. And of course, it means much more than she or anyone else at this point in Jesus' ministry will ever be able to know until after that Son of David takes up his throne upon the cross and dies at the hands of evil men and is vindicated and raised to life as the Lord over death, which means he is the Lord over everything. Lord, Son of David, she knows what she is saying? Yes. And one little word in verse 27 proves it. You know, it's rather odd because the word is a word that our English translations miss, without exception. Every commentary that I have gets it, without exception. To be sure, it's not a hard or complicated word. In the Greek, the word is gar. Our English translators translate this word as either but or yet. And so, verse 27 tends to read in the English, yes, Lord, but, or yes, Lord, yet, even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. But the word gar literally means for or because. And that's important. Because I get the sneaking suspicion that we tend to think that this Gentilic Canaanite woman is arguing with Jesus. Yes, Lord, but, yes, Lord, yet, the reality is that this woman, she's not arguing with Jesus at all. There's no but. There's no yes. There's no yes, Lord, but. She's not arguing with Jesus. She is agreeing with Jesus. And then she says why she agrees. She knows that Jesus is Israel's Messiah, and she believes him to be the Lord. She knows that God is keeping his promise to Israel and that Jesus' authority is all that matters. She says, yes, Lord, because. Meaning, you're right. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, because the dogs get to eat too from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And that is all I need. So rich and so full and so gracious is the table of Israel's Messiah, of Israel's King, that the crumbs are all I need. And I know that there is something here. I know that there are crumbs even for me. And this is the second thing that great faith believes. She knows who Jesus really is. And she knows that Jesus has something for her. A woman. And he says, O woman, your faith is great. And he gives. Dear saints of the living God, here then are the truths that we too may believe. Jesus is the Son of David. He is the promised King. He was nailed to the cross. He was rejected as he knew he would be. He was stricken and smitten and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was crucified on a Friday. And the world was dark. But overcoming every plot and dark dream of every enemy, God raised him from the dead, and he lives. He is exalted to the right hand of the Father. He is Lord. And now, O Gentile, he has something for you. He has mercy and grace for you, even in your greatest hour of need. Now, that doesn't make great faith easy. This Gentilic Canaanite woman had to endure the suffering of helplessly watching her daughter, whom she loved, continually being oppressed by a demon. And then she had to endure the trial of crying out to Jesus in pain and misery and hearing nothing in return. Jesus was silent. And she had to endure the humiliation of begging Jesus again. And she had to endure the impatience and the belittlement for her by those who were closest to Jesus, his very own disciples. That's hard. Enduring the sufferings of this life when God is silent. Everyone around you is mocking you, and the only thing that you have is trusting that Israel's Messiah and King is so gracious and merciful, and his table is so rich and full that this is still something. There is still something, even though you can't see it right now, there is still something at this table for you. That's hard. That's great faith. But I will tell you this. I have seen it, and I have lived it. For 7 years now, I have stood at the side of your hospital bed. For 7 years now, I have stood with you in front of your loved ones' caskets. For 7 years now, I have sat with you through crumbling marriages, broken families, car accidents, spiritual afflictions, temptations, tormenting sins of the past and present, failing health, fading memory, loss of job, loss of home, and children and grandchildren who have wandered from the faith. And through it all, I have heard you say, "Pastor, I don't know what I would do if I didn't know the Lord. Pastor, I know God still loves me and will get me through this. Pastor, thank you for coming, for listening, for reading God's word and giving me Jesus. I needed that." Through it all, I have heard you sing. "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Entrust your days and burdens to God's most loving hand. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long,
stills on the ears the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ.
O saints of Holy Cross and Emmanuel, how great is your faith. Through all the suffering, through all the sorrow, through all the crying out to God and receiving no immediate answer, and with people around you mocking you, that would even dare, however it may be, to believe in a God who doesn't seem to be with you after what you have been through, you have still trusted. You have still clung to Israel's Messiah and King, the Son of David, Jesus Christ our Lord. And you have still believed that this Jesus still has mercy and grace for you. That you have a God who is for you and not against you. Yes, you have a God who has loved you unto death. Yes, this God, this Jesus, risen from the dead, so that you may never be separated from his eternal presence. Yes, you have a place with him at his side. Yes, you belong to his people. Yes, he forgives you. Yes, he comforts you. He strengthens you. He helps you. He sustains you in the midst of your suffering. Yes, he gives you peace. There is a purpose to your living. And one day, there will be a full healing and eternal life, body and soul. Great faith knows who Jesus is and believes that he has something for you. Amen.